Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another movie episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Elberton. And who's in a sequel that's not a sequel that is a reboot with me tonight?
Well, clan member Red Fox.
Welcome. And we're here to talk about a movie that technically is the Four Turtles movie. We're here to talk about TMNT. Came out in 2007. That is directed by Kevin Monroe and was produced by Imagi Animation Studio, who doesn't exist anymore, and distributed by Warner Brothers. There's a key word of why this thing was so fucking hard to find to watch. Fucking Warner Brothers. So this used to be on Paramount as of like last year in 2023. It's like I saw it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll be easy to cover. You know, we can just use it on Paramount. And then when we talked about doing this in January, when we're recording, it wasn't available on Paramount anymore. And then I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Paramount owns the Turtles, but Warner Brothers made this, or distributed this, and Imagi doesn't exist anymore because they went bankrupt. So this wasn't, I had to buy this on Prime or watch it other ways.
I streamed it. I guess that's all I'll say.
I tried, but it kept kicking off. So I was like, fuck it. I'll just pay money for it and buy it on Amazon.
So one way I was able to watch it was the Roku channel. The only shitty part about that is it has ads.
Oh, yeah. It was on Roku. I was going to watch it on Roku, too. But then I was like, I'm just going to watch this while I'm sitting at my computer doing other things, too. And had it playing when I had time. So have you ever seen this movie before?
I actually have. I want to say I was like, well, the movie came out like shortly after we got out of high school.
Yeah,
and I watched
after
it.
I graduated.
I want to say about a couple of years after that, I ended up watching it. So that's when I saw it.
Okay, I know my mother bought this for me on DVD at some point and shipped it to me probably 2008, 2009, maybe 2000. Yeah, probably 08 or 09, or maybe even 07. I'm pretty sure I still have the DVD.
I actually got it from my mom, too. Like, I want to say she either, like, bought it for super cheap, like, at Target, or she found it at a thrift store. I don't know. But I ended up getting it on DVD originally, too. And I actually have them on DVD, and I think even Blu-ray, this movie. I just have nothing to play it on anymore, because PCs don't even have disc drives, and I don't have any game systems outside of that. So that explains that.
I have a PS5 and a PS4. That's what I use for Blu-rays and DVDs. So, but with my setup, I was like, I could go get the DVD, but I'm like, I don't even know if I even still have it or if I can find it. And then I just, next thing I know, I was buying it on Amazon for $10. I'm like, whatever.
She just rented it.
Yeah, but then, I know, I thought about it. It was one of those decisions where I'm like, man, I could have spent $4 instead of $10. And I was actually upset with myself. I'm like, Mike, you're fine.
Yeah, so, you'll be fine, but renting would have been better.
See, now I have to watch it more than once to make up for that fact. So, you know, right now it's on playing while we're recording. So there's that. So this movie is really hard to find out stuff about because it is only called TMNT. But if you search just TMNT, you will find everything but this film.
Yep. You have to say TMNT movie. And yes, you'll get all the movies, but that one will show up.
You have to say 2007. That's how you find
that helps. Movie. That definitely helps.
I mean, it's pretty much in the collective known as TMNT 2007. For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to say the plot rundown of this movie real quick is the Turtles are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as we always know. Leo has gone missing, or not gone missing, left to go to Central America to train, didn't come back. The Turtles are doing their own thing, and there's some new evil that is afoot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even on purpose, by the way. But that they have to face, and we had to make a new villain, and there's somebody who 3,000 years ago released 13 monsters and is immortal. Yeah, that's pretty much the plot. And the Turtles have to deal with this new conflict. And Shredder's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that one of the things that's really weird is that, like, and you only get, like, a you get, like, a one-minute thing, or maybe two-minute, that talks about the Turtles. Yeah, it's 1 minute. I'm watching it right now. It talks about who the Turtles are, and that Shredder's dead. And then you get it immediately thrown into 3,000 years ago, and it starts talking about this new evil. And I'm just like, Turtles have a lot of stuff you can pull from. Why are we going here?
Yeah, so I'm glad we agree on that. So I actually felt the same way. Just the cover of the Shredder thing, I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, they literally, like, cut him out of the entire movie other than mentioning here and there. And then the ending, which I'm sure we'll get to that part too. But to introduce those new villains, I thought was kind of pointless. And they weren't even all that interesting to begin with. I felt they were a bit generic too.
I mean, they are. Like, the whole idea of that being, like, this guy 3,000 years ago was a conqueror, and he had four generals that each looked like they could fit into an RPG class.
Pretty much, yeah. Assassin, I mean, tank or whatever.
Yeah, they also look at different nations, too. Like, the idea, like, one looks very South American with, like, the style of armor and just, like, very Aztec-y. Like, you just have, he looks like a giant knight, like, England-type armor. I mean, they're just caricatures, and they don't have really, I guess they have names, but we don't really hear it in this movie. It's not important to us.
Yeah, I didn't remember any one of them at all.
And they were turned to stone, and then he became immortal. He let out 13 monsters, and I guess he also, like, I think he destroyed his entire army that he had, too, in the process of that, I think is what happened. It's just kind of weird to me. Just like, this is just a strange way to do this Turtles movie, because you're trying to do something new with the Turtles. There's also a lot of, like, just weirdness, because the director says this is a sequel to the live-action Turtles movies that we had in the 90s.
They do make that a bit evident as they go through the movie, yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, Peter Laird said, these are not part of that same universe, even though it's like, Peter, you're not involved in this movie.
At this time, I don't know if you've done enough research. He did at one point like fell off his share or his stake in it. This could have been that era.
Well, either way, he just wasn't involved with this movie. Like, I mean, you know, once you kind of sign off things, you don't really have a say.
Pretty much.
I don't think he sold his share yet, or re-got his share, or whenever that stuff.
I thought he sold it and then got some back or something like that. I don't know. I
can't remember when he does that, but either way, like. I mean, this is what, I think 13 years or so after we got the last 90s movie? Like, it's a while.
It's quite some time, yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's part of it, too. This was originally supposed to be part of a trilogy they wanted to make, which is why that ending is the way it is. There's certain comments in that ending that we'll talk about later, but that's what they were up to. But the company went bankrupt within the 2 years after this, so... Because they also made a movie called Astro Boy that completely bombed, and so that was the end of them. Which I didn't even know existed.
Astro Boy, is that the little boy with, like, the black hair?
I think they made it in 2009, and then after that, and then that bombed, and they went out of business.
Who the hell even knew what Astro Boy was back then? I mean, for them to even do that, but...
it was 2009. I mean, I sort of know who Astro Boy is. And they also did, the same company did a couple television direct-to-video films. They did a Highlander anime-looking movie.
Oh, wow.
That I actually want to watch now. And they did a Digital Monster Digimon movie. So they did a couple of things, but they also were working on a Legend of Zelda film at some point that was canceled.
Well.
So, yeah. I don't think it ever got anywhere because it doesn't even have a planned release date, but it was in talks. To be fair, I'd rather have an animated Legend of Zelda movie than what we're getting. So, but that's neither here nor there. This is just a strange film, too, to start with. I mean, when it starts off, after you get the flashback, he goes to Central America, and you have some, which technically they probably are communist guerrillas that are just raiding a small town, and then you have Predator-style Leo just taking people out.
Pretty much. Kind of an interesting introduction to Leo. I mean, it gets you kind of involved a bit, but yeah.
I like it. It's just different.
The whole Predator kind of feel wasn't a bad touch. Not that it necessarily fits him, but... As a warrior that he is, and skilled as he is, and in training, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's not bad, you know, to have him become like this ghost of the jungle, and that he's just taking people out, and, I mean, these guys deserve it. I mean, you just see him raid a small town, and take everything, and take their food, and, of course, it's the big fat guy in charge, to show that he doesn't need the food they're taking. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of what they're going for. I mean, with this movie, it's very much known as the CGI movie. At this point, like, that's what people call it, the TMT CGI.
Right, also... And how did you feel about the AI, the CGI style in general?
I like it. I liked it back when I first saw this. I like it now.
I liked it more then. When I first saw it, I don't want to say I was impressed, but it was good. I didn't mind it. What I dislike, or I'm not the biggest fan of, is the turtle stasis. Their eyes are a bit too far apart. They look a little weird to me. Otherwise, not too bad. It almost looks like, especially the human characters, like the main 3,000-year-old immortal guy. Look, I don't even know his name.
Nate.
It reminds me of like somebody, like the dad from The Incredibles.
I think Nate. Or is it, it's Winter. It's something Winters.
Winters, right? Well, the guy looks like the dad from The Incredibles.
Okay.
That was probably around that time too.
Yeah, I think it would be. I'm trying to find out what his name is, but it's not going very well. That's just kind of the thing with it. I mean, they're forgettable characters.
They are. Because honestly, like Max Winters. Okay, yeah. When I ended up watching this again, I completely forgot who the enemies were. Like the villains were. Like I knew there was somebody that I never saw before the first time I watched it. And going back into it, like I had kind of a different mindset of who I was going to see in it, and I was a bit wrong.
No, that's fair. I mean, they made a brand new set of characters. When you think about it, like at the time of this Turtles, we had the 2003 cartoon running. Like there's stuff they could have pulled from, and yet they went this direction. But I guess they wanted to be separate from anything else.
And it wasn't the right take. I mean, because yeah, if this truly is like an unofficial like sequel to the original three. One and two are rather consistent and kind of some of their material, but three ventured off at the time and all that kind of stuff, time travel. This one seems just like a mesh of just all of them. Like, let's take all the ideas and just throw them together. Let's get the gigantic monsters from Secret of the Ooze and let's make 13 of them. All right, that sounds good. All right, now let's get the Foot Clan from the first one and second and throw them back in. And then the third one, there's a sort of like time travel. Let's have somebody that lives forever and goes through time himself that way. All right, that's the third one covered. All right, now what else can we do?
I mean, I do like the whole idea of this guy being immortal. And hey, it is also voiced by Patrick Stewart. So there is that.
I guess I didn't notice that. Yeah,
I didn't either.
Oh, and I'm glad you brought up voice actors, because I actually was impressed with the voice acting. I did like almost all of it.
They do a good job. Like this feels like you got voice actors that know how to voice act, and they do a good job in this.
Yeah,
like some of the cast,
every character. Yeah,
April is Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy. I mean, she funny. Does a great job.
Yeah, she does a good job in there. I thought the turtles, all the voices there were pretty fitting.
Who do you have? You have Nolan North as Raphael. So, did you recognize who played Leo?
No.
Let me give you a hint.
Oh, God, really?
Titus from FF10.
Oh, I'm going to have to hear his voice again.
It's James Arnold Taylor, also does Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars show, who I almost met, but he didn't come to the convention that I was going to pay to meet him at.
Oh,
so.
He does a pretty good job as Obi-Wan in that show.
He does, but he's Titus.
I didn't know he did Titus's voice either.
If you go back and watch it and you listen for that, you will hear the Titus.
In
now that
Clone
I pointed
Wars?
Out to you.
Or are you in the movie?
Yeah, the movie. You will hear Titus.
Oh.
You can hear it in Leo here every so often. You can hear the Titus in his voice.
Oh man, I wish I knew that ahead of time. I would have been listening for it.
I should have told you. I thought about it, but I'm like, I'll just wait and see if he knows on the recording.
Oh no. I was not even close to even figuring that out.
But I like how that dumb laugh just immediately you're like, I know what the hell he's referencing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you've ever played 10, you know what that is.
Again, that moment makes so much sense when you think about what's happening, but yes.
Oh, it's actually, when you really go back on it, it's a great moment. It makes sense.
I want to replay that game, but I don't at the same time.
All the game?
It's been on my mind for a long time to go back to it. But yeah, no, that's the voice for Leo. Who are the other actors for the Turtles? Mikey Kelly is Michelangelo, who I don't know any idea who he is. He's nothing jumping out at me when I'm looking
at
him.
He did good. Like, he really... I felt captured the essence of him.
And then Mitchell Whitfield is Donatello, another guy that isn't as known as voice actors on here. I mean, I'm okay that, you know, I like it that they have less, like, they have people who are actually voice actors, not just actors that they just hired to be voices. And the ones they did are good. Like, Chris Evans does a good job as Casey Jones. Sarah Michelle Gellar does a great job.
That's great. He does a good job as him, too.
Chris Evans can voice act.
Apparently.
You know, and there's a lot of actors that cannot do it. Because it's a completely different version of acting. And it makes me sad when you know, just hire a voice actor. Like, it takes a certain kind of person to do what they do.
Right.
I mean, as a guy who podcasts a lot, I understand now. A little bit. A very small amount where I've thought about, I could be a voice actor. I spent enough time in front of a microphone. This movie, I think it does some interesting things, especially when you think about the fact that this is a semi-sequel to that. Like, that these characters are old. The Turtles are older. They're not really teenagers anymore, I would say. I would say they're more like almost young adults or freaking adults at this point. Like, you know, early 20s.
At some point, do they cover the time gap between the other movies? No.
They don't say how long Shredder is. They don't say a word about anything.
I thought they did say how long he was dead. I got a swear it was like about a year or so.
I don't think... If they did, I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I could be wrong, but yeah.
I don't think they said how long. I don't think they ever give you a time frame. Just the feeling of it to me is that more time has passed. I mean, this April seems younger than the April we had in the movies, but that's fine. But like with the Turtles, they have jobs now. Michelangelo goes to parties and dresses up as a turtle and gets beat up. Donatello works at an IT.
Right. And does April ever, like, they hint towards her current job or past or anything?
They don't hint towards either. Like, her current job is getting artifacts for Max Winters.
Right. And it almost seems like she's back into the science field, which in the movie she was purely a reporter.
Yeah, this is because they take different, they go very different directions. I mean, I think the fact that the Turtles are working, that's what makes me feel like more like they're young adults. And Splinter seems like an older man because he's watching reality TV and stuff.
They tend to actually do that in almost every iteration of him, that he loves his like soap operas and stuff.
Well, I guess that's in the comic that I miss.
Yeah, it's almost in everything that they put him in, at least more in
modern
times, yeah.
I can't remember 87 cartoon, but I don't want to either.
That, I don't know if they did it back then, but more modern age, yeah.
And I like what they did with Raphael in here, how they made him a new persona, essentially. Like, he goes out at night, and he's, what, the Night Stalker or Night...
Night Watcher.
Okay, I kept thinking it was Night Thrasher, but then I also realized they can't do that, because that's a Marvel character.
Besides that, it's a kind of a generic name, which they kind of fixed that one up.
I would have rather had Night Thrasher, but legally you can't do that.
Right.
I mean, hey, it's a guy with a skateboard.
Could have figured out something else.
It's a Marvel character. Also happened to be a black guy because the 90s. Yeah, the reason you probably don't see him very often in comics anymore because it's so racist. But I like the stuff with the Night Watcher for Raphael. I think that's and that also kind of, I feel like, feeds into the idea that this is later on, is that he's, you know, become this vigilante himself, even, and that basically fits into the movie canon, the live action, because he always was a vigilante a bit, you know, the first movie.
And the comics, he also visits that role too, so it's not unheard of.
No, and I like it in here. I like it that without Leo, that they're also very just not working together. You know, they have more problems now that Leo is missing.
Yeah, I like how they have each turtle kind of find their own way the best they can, but it shows just how, in a way, unorganized and somewhat lost they are without the glue that holds them together, which is Leo.
I mean, I feel like in most iterations of Turtles, like, you need Leo. Like, Leo's, he's the leader, he's the guy, and, you know, and especially the fact that he chose to go away and chose not to come back. Like, he was supposed to train for a year, then come back, and he never came back. He just stayed in Central America.
Yeah, well, Splinter sent them down there for further training, and he feels like he should not return until he's reached to the point where he's satisfied, I guess.
I do find it a bit ironic, the movie where April just happens to be in that area, and just like, oh, I heard stories about a ghost, about a predator killing people, essentially, not killing people, but she's like, oh, I thought it was you, and she just falls into his camp, but that's fine.
Wasn't she trying to go down there to find him? That was kind of her goal, wasn't it?
No, she was down there to find the statue of the last general.
Oh, okay.
For Max Winters.
Yeah, that's a little pushing it, I suppose.
Because she's been helping Max Winters for however long find these four statues that are the four generals that returned to stone 3,000 years ago.
Right.
So she's in charge of a whole, like, crew, I think. That's how I took it, but watching back, I think really she's just in charge of Casey.
Yeah.
Because when she needs someone to come, you know, bring the statue, you think she'd have a whole crew and she's got to call him and he's sleeping.
Right.
Which I just thought was kind of funny. I'm like, well, shouldn't you have an entire crew to work with instead of calling your boyfriend?
Right, who's, like, clearly still in New York?
Clearly, yes. I mean,
he's got quite some travel ahead of him.
Well, she's in New York, too, because she's at the dock, but...
Oh, yeah, because she didn't call him from Central America.
Right? No, she called him when the boat arrived, and she needed him to bring the van to carry out the statue.
Oh, when she got... Yeah, I got you.
And it's just funny, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure that in New York, you ain't getting anywhere pretty quick.
No.
With traffic. But I really like April in this. I like the way they animate her. Like, the way, I like the design. I thought it looked good. Like, they did a good job.
You know what it reminded me of? Have you ever seen the 2012 cartoon?
A little. Not enough, unfortunately.
So I feel like this character, or this model, was kind of like a precursor to that, because it to me, it's pretty damn similar. I mean, I haven't seen the 2012 one in some years, but it definitely reminded me of that.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, 2012 is also the next CGI Turtles that we get, and this is very much that same style.
Yeah.
Also, one of the irony things is that in this movie, like, you see, I didn't catch it the first time, but as I'm rewatching it, you see the circle that was the same circle he used all those 3,000 years ago, just either happens to be in New York or he carted it to where the city was.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, with all the stuff they got going on already, that's pretty far-fetched. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, and you have a small thing that pays off where Casey, and when they do deliver it, Casey has to knock over a vase, so that way, later on in the movie, he can, you know, he'll knock over another vase and know that will work.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's fine. I did find it laughing when April's like, oh, this is my associate. He's like, boyfriend, when they meet Max Winters. I thought that was funny to me. Because, I mean, it makes sense. The woman's like, you don't need to know, so I'm just going to introduce, but the guy's like, oh, I'm jealous. I need to, people need to know I'm your boyfriend. That's how I took it.
Well, yeah, funny. I mean, you get to carry that with him even to the end.
It amused me. The statues are kind of cool, like, especially because a little bit after this, when they do come to life, because the guy has some kind of pendant or something for some reason that makes them move, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I just can't believe they got Patrick Stewart to do the voice in this movie.
Yeah, that's a little nuts, you know, when you told me that. Like, out of everybody, that's the guy.
Also, you might be surprised by this fact, but when I saw this the first time, this was the first time that I ever remember being introduced to Karai. I did not know her before this movie.
I knew her. When did I first run into Karai? Because as a kid, I didn't
I did. Never mind. I take that back. But keep going.
As a kid, I didn't really watch or read Mirage much. She wasn't in the cartoon. I think the first time I really ran into her must have been the 03 cartoon.
She's in the 03 cartoon, but I can't remember if we watched the 03 cartoon when we played the PS2 game, but I don't remember if we actually watched the cartoon.
Right. I caught the cartoon here and there, but was I an avid like watcher of it and really kept up with it? Absolutely not.
Okay, so this might be my first time. I might have not. I don't think I to go back. Okay, to double back on my opinion, I just said I don't. Yeah, this probably was my first time because I didn't watch the 2003 cartoon till after this, when I would have been at some point. I downloaded it. That was years later.
I know her more probably around this movie and before. Probably more from the games than anything else.
What games was she in? She's in the Super Nintendo Tournament Fighters, but I didn't know it was her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't name any for sure, but I knew who she was.
Okay.
Just not when she was introduced.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it like after I opened my mouth, and I'm like, well, I know from the 2003 cartoon, but I don't think I like absorbed the cartoon at all. I know we played the PS2 games, I played the Game Boy Advance game, but I don't remember if she's in those or if she meant anything to me. Like, she was like, okay, like, this is my first real, I feel like my first real introduction to her.
Yeah, could have been.
I like her a lot now, but that's also because of the damn IDW comic.
Well, she's always been a pretty solid character, and I don't think in most cases, they really drop the ball with her ever. I mean, you see how they treat her in IDW, which is pretty good, so no complaints from me on that.
And she's done good in the 2003 cartoon also. Which I think they were trying to capture that crowd because that cartoon was still running at this point.
Oh, it was that's probably a big part of it too, yeah.
So no, it was running a really bad season at the time, which is when they go to like the cyber future. It's really bad. Completely tone different than what that show is because whoever made it was like, hey, this is too dark. We want kids. They're like, what are you talking about? We just had Shredder get beheaded and turned out and just had Baxter. We've been just taking body parts away. What are you talking about too dark? What? Yeah, and then they went kooky. I never watched the show, but I watched the whole YouTube guy break down every season for me in like hour chunks, and it was wonderful. So don't need to watch the show. I think the stuff with Casey and Raphael in this is really good, as always, like them bonding, and you kind of get that feel again that it is a sequel to the live action movies, just the way they are. And that's how I felt with their relationship in here.
Yeah, I mean, from their relationship is portrayed pretty consistently. I mean, even from Mirage to the first movie. And beyond that, like they're just two bros, you know. They're damn near brothers on their own right.
Yeah, I like how when he sees Raphael as a night guy, I forgot Night his Watcher. Name. Night Watcher. I keep wanting to say Night Thrasher, and he's like, "How'd you know it was me? You're turtle shape, buddy."
Dude, I'm so glad they said that because at first I was like, I didn't remember if Casey knew, and I was like, "Oh, this guy, he better fucking know." Like. Look at the shape. Like, you got to have some. I know Casey's not the brightest academically, but you know, he's a street smart guy. He's got it for you. So yeah. And he says it like, oh, dude, you look like a big ass metal turtle. Yeah, no shit. Thank you. And Leo, this intelligent guy, like later on, he doesn't know who the hell Raph is. Like, you gotta know.
That bothered me that when Leo does come back and he runs into Raphael and he doesn't know it's Raphael, like he doesn't know who this is. And like that bothered me a little bit because they have a whole fight where I thought, okay, he knows who this is and he's, you know, doing a whole monologue, and then he's like, then he finds out that it's, you know, his brother. And I'm like, how do you not know it's your brother?
And he sees him spinning around in the air with the green hat and her red bandana. He's like, Raph? Like, yeah, buddy. I'm glad you caught up. Thanks.
That bothered me a little bit. I mean, it's stupid, but it did bother me a little.
I mean, it's a minor detail for the most part that if we can overlook, fine. Like,
I think it's something that bothers us a little bit more than because we have such an attachment to these characters.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I just, like, also it kind of sucks from a writing standpoint. Like, come on, dude. Like, yeah, I don't know. Look at the shape of this guy. Raph goes out at night. He knows it. Like, put it together. I mean, unless they had in mind, like, overdoing this purely for kids, and they won't, you know, look past that, I guess. But it's...
I mean, I think that's what was going on, is that we're going to make this movie mostly for kids and we're going to get a whole new generation into Turtles and we're going to do this trilogy. That's how I feel.
They definitely picked a shitty villain team for that.
Well, that's because they're saving... I'll talk about it later, but they had plans for 2 and 3, and I read what those plans were. And that would have appealed to us way more, especially the second one, than what we get here. So that's what... It was the whole idea that we're going to save the better stuff for later when we make a sequel and be like, yeah, guys, you got to make money first to make a sequel. Yeah. That type of thing. And when Leo does come back, I like the way the team reacts to it. They react the way they should. Like, they're all excited, but Raphael's pissed, and that's what leads to them fighting on the roof eventually. The monster stuff is weird to me. Because, like, you have a part where they fight the monsters or fight a monster when they're together. And that's really it. You really don't see a whole... You only see a couple monsters even in this movie. And it's just kind of like, why is this even here?
Yeah, I don't... It did feel pointless. Like, it was like... I felt like the entire story arc of the villains in general was pointless. Just way a waste.
Yeah, it feels a bit just odd. I mean, you have the turtles get their... Like, they just... They don't succeed in taking down this monster. And then I guess the idea is that all of a sudden you see the four generals take the monster out, like, immediately. And after, like, at some point you see the Foot Clan can't take out the monsters either because they were hired by Max Winters to help get the monsters. Because his whole idea is that he's going to get all 13 monsters, put them back with the four stone generals, and then they can not be immortal anymore and he can die finally.
Yeah.
Which I like that idea because, like, when you look at a lot of, as a guy who watched a ton of Highlander, it makes sense. A lot of them are like, I've been living forever, I don't care anymore. Like, they get to a point where they're just like, cut off my head. I've been alive for, you know, thousands of years. I'm done. Makes sense. I mean, and with the four generals, like, in this movie later on, you see them get upset and feel betrayed because they don't want to, you know, die, essentially. They've been in stone unconscious for 3,000 years, and all of a sudden now they're just alive again for the first time. So it makes sense that they're like, I don't want to go.
Yeah, like, you've had all this time to, like, mess around, play around. Like, we want our turn.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like, I'm not shocked when they, you know, when they get upset and feel betrayed. You know, it made sense, even though he's surprised. Like, how can you betray me, my brother, my family? Well, come on, buddy. It's been 3,000 years for you, and it's been like a week for them, and they're just like, wait, you want to give up this power? No, no, no.
And he keeps saying, my brothers. Isn't one of them a female?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. Isn't that how you approach people you're related to and go, isn't that when you go see your sister and go, my brothers, right?
Actually, yeah, I kind of do.
it's kind of weird. It's just like, yeah. The foot do look cool in this. I like the design of the foot ninjas a lot.
Yeah, they're not comical at all. They're pretty serious, and they do their thing in there. I don't think any one of them ever speaks either.
No, they don't have any lines. Just Karai has a few lines. And
Yeah, she's the only one that talks, ever.
I do like this idea of Karai being around and in charge now that Shredder is dead. I did want a mention of Shredder going into a trash compactor, but I didn't get that.
Oh, I wish they would have.
Just something like, you know, last time we saw him, went for a swim. Something.
Right.
Because they did have Super Shredder in the second movie. That's when he goes for the swim.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't remember how the hell he survives from the first movie to the second movie. It's been a while.
Well, I don't know. So he's in the garbage truck, and they dump him off in the junkyard or the
I guess
landfill or whatever.
Oh yeah, and then he's all injured and stuff, and then he gets the ooze.
And I guess he makes his base in the landfill.
I mean, that's what you would do, right? You know?
Yeah, obviously, and nobody notices.
You wake up where your body was left for dead after you were went oops and got squished on a trash compactor. So, you know.
Yep. Still good to go.
I'll never get over that. Oops, I'm gonna commit murder.
Yeah, Casey's a murderer. So in this, if it's a continuation, that case, that animated Casey is an actual murderer. Or attempted murder, I'm sorry, because Shredder did survive.
Attempted oops murderer. You gotta include that stupid ass oops he says when he hits the button.
Oops.
Oops, I tried to kill a guy. Oops. Like the way that they react to the monsters, like after they get their ass beat and Raphael being upset with Leo being, you know, have left them, I think is good. The stuff with the monsters just kind of rubs me the wrong way because it could have been mutants. You could have easily found a way to work in all like the history that TMT has and two different mutants. There's enough of them.
But I know. Yeah. I don't know what went wrong there, but
they just wanted to go a different direction, I guess. I mean, hey, you sell different toys.
Yeah. Toys they didn't come out with, right?
I'm assuming there's got to be toys. Some of the monsters. I mean, they're definitely toys of this movie.
I have the Raphael figure from this movie.
Of course you do.
Of course I do, yes.
That's cool, though. No, they made some cool... I mean, I've seen the toys, and there's some other stuff I want to talk about later on with the merchandise and what went on and other stuff for this movie in particular. But, I mean, yeah. Whenever I see weird stuff like this, I'm always like, toys. I don't know, the whole monster idea, like, the whole, like, you have them just trying to get the you know, you pretty much have the generals trying to collect all the monsters and get down to one, and then the turtles finally come into play. Because they don't, I mean, the turtles aren't really involved. They just get, the generals are like, hey, we don't want to let Max Winter send us back, so we're going to capture Leo and say he's the 13th monster. And I guess if you only capture 12 of the monsters, or if you don't capture all 13 for some reason, the world ends or something, is the whole nature of this, I guess.
I honestly don't know for sure. I don't remember, but.
That's what's going on. And the idea also of Max Winters was essentially like a Roman general, and he had been in power. He was in Egypt and all this throughout his whole life. I'm okay with that, too. Like, that makes sense to me. If you were immortal, you would just be, you know, a different societies that, you know, lived a long time.
Right. I don't know. Overall, it's the story and the villains are just subpar.
I did laugh when April gets into her ninja outfit and Casey's like, oh, that made me laugh.
Yeah, you know, in the fighting sequences with Casey and April, like, Casey's taking on a bunch of foot soldiers. I mean, it's not that bad considering he's done it in other iterations. But April kind of doing it, I was like, yeah, maybe not.
They say make a comment of how she was training and stuff, I guess.
I suppose, man.
They just wanted to put her in a ninja sexy outfit and sell you toys and give her something more to do. And I liked it. I get it where you're coming from, but I enjoyed it.
No, I was never the biggest fan of April getting in there like and holding her own with like trained ninjas killers. Or assassins or killers. And that was never a good look for me. Like if April's going to be in a combat kind of role, like the rebel she was in Last Ronin. Yeah, that's fine. I can take that.
Yeah.
But this, yeah, not so much.
No, I'm with you. I get where you're coming from. You know, I now you've mentioned like Last Ronin. Yeah, that fits more of her character. What we see in there than what this is, but I like archaeologist April and then Ninja April.
I mean, I'll take it. It's not the first time I've seen it, so I can.
I mean, and the only reason why the turtles even end up where they're into the whole base of the enemy is because they captured Leo. They wouldn't have captured Leo, they wouldn't even be in this movie. Like, they wouldn't have been there at the end.
yeah, they wouldn't have much of a motivation or knowledge of even needing to be.
I mean, and the only time they fight the Foot is because the Foot was tasked with not letting anybody into the big corporation, so they fight the Foot.
Yep.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, you have that very Ghostbusters 1 moment where you have the big vortex in the sky saying, go here.
Well, one thing I did enjoy, and this was even one of the monster fights, too, like in the construction site, the Raphael and Leo fight.
Yeah.
Just any fight almost in general in this movie was pretty enjoyable to me. I thought the choreography and just it was exciting. It was yeah. CGI. It was exciting, and you could do more with that. And I think like you got a bunch of like superpowered mutants and monsters, and it should be destructive. It should be over the top. It should be things that we can't normally see. And I think they did a good job with that.
Oh, to make you unhappier when in the part you're talking about when April's in the ninja outfit, like what we were talking about earlier, we don't like she goes toe to toe with Karai, sword to sword.
Oh, you know, and that's probably what I was subconsciously referring to.
It just, yeah, it is.
It doesn't. That itself, I hate that. I don't like that.
Because you're like, Karai is a trained killer, trained assassin. I mean, I could see April going toe-to-toe with foot soldiers. Some might be stupid, sure, whatever.
Sure.
Like, some just might be kids that wanted to have a cigarette and play arcade games in the basement because this guy promised to be their daddy. So, hey.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Yeah.
I mean, I'll take that over. Karai is not nobody. Karai is something else.
Yeah, like, Karai is the closest thing you're going to get to a Shredder. So that shouldn't fly. Karai is like the Foot Clan Leonardo. That's why they always have them as rivals, you know?
Yeah, and it's... Again, I think we have, as I kind of said earlier, we have such an attachment to some of these characters, so it's hard for us to see dumb shit with them when we're like, IDW did this better, guys. A comic book.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you're an older fan, and it's a kid's, somewhat of a kid's franchise, I mean, it didn't really come out that way back in 84, but if it's evolved into a kid's franchise, for the most part, at least in on TV or in the movies, fine, but we have our place in the comics. Just like with Power Rangers.
I also don't think Casey Jones has a cricket bat either in that he's carrying. He has hockey sticks. No cricket bat.
That's unfortunate.
That is. I was looking at it like really close just now. Like he has a couple baseball bats, hockey stick, but I didn't see a cricket bat.
Oh, they should at least touch that in there.
Yeah, come on. I know we don't understand cricket unless you eat crumpets, but still, we kind of have.
That's it, yeah.
I actually understand cricket a little bit more. I actually understand way more than just that stupid joke I make. I actually know how cricket works. So,
I don't think I've ever witnessed it played.
I've seen it on TV. I watch sports documentaries a lot, and I love sports documentaries about crooked people. I don't care what sport it is, I will watch about crooked people all the damn time. So, and there was a cricket one where I watched, that's how I know, where they were betting in India and they weren't supposed to be betting, and the guy in charge was betting. You know how that goes for people. But no, cricket's actually kind of complicated. There's lots of different, like, it's a high scoring game and can go for a very, very long time. Like, we're talking about hours. So, yeah, there's your random knowledge you didn't ask for. But when they do finally get to Max Winter's base and they end up teaming up with him. They team up with the foot soldiers, too. They team up with Karai because they all decide, okay, we need to get these monsters back so the world doesn't end. And then they fight the stone generals, which, and like, well, they're invincible because they're giant stone statues. Like, what are you going to do to them with your little weapons? Especially nunchucks.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's so worthless.
But it's still, I mean, it's fun. I mean, the CGI looks good. It's cool. It just, as a guy who's a big Turtle fan, it just bugged me again. Like, why didn't you, dig through the catalog? But I get it.
They had so much to pull from.
Mm-hmm. But it's still good. I mean, the music numbers they do in this, they definitely have original song to end it. But I enjoyed it. Like, I'm like, it's fun. It would have been a fun, like, had I been like a 13-year-old in 2007, I would have enjoyed it more.
Sure. Not a 19-year-old. It's not bad. It's just not. It's almost like some of it is wasted source material.
But it's fun to see. Like, I mean, and then I think it's Karai and April that they get the last monster and they use themselves as bait to bring it in. I thought that was cool. The way Max Winters dies, he just kind of fades into fades away because he shouldn't be here anymore once finally the spell is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four statues get sucked into the ray of light and disappear. And become human, too. They become human right before they disappear. Yeah, it's fine. I do like Karai's comment, which, again, this is part of the... I've been waiting to say this. This is part of where the sequel, Karai makes a comment that the next time they see each other, they'll be enemies because something from their past will be back. They're talking about she's reviving. Shredder's going to be back.
So that's what she was getting at?
Because the next movie they were going to make was going... Yeah, it's just familiar stasis from your past. She's talking about Shredder because the next movie was going to be them fighting Shredder. And the third movie was going to be them fighting the Triceratons were going to come in.
Okay, I mean, I would have took Triceratons over the shit we got.
Same, but that's what they were like, we want to start with something new, and then we'll get into, like, the, more, like, the Shredder one. I mean, hell, we might never have gotten Triceratons, but, like, we would have, Shredder, like, they were saving their big gun for the second movie, which, I get it.
Backwards, though, I feel like, if you want to really draw people in for the first time and have them care about it, give them something they're familiar with, and then maybe start introducing more original elements.
But that also goes into touch with the whole idea that this is a sequel to the other movie, so that's also why they waited on Shredder, I guess. But at the same time, like, this isn't really a sequel. Like, it's its own thing. You're trying to get a new audience. You're just being stupid about it, where you didn't want to do an origin story, which I'm glad this isn't an origin story. I'm glad this isn't like, oh, here are the Turtles. Like, it expects you to know who they are, and I'm okay with that.
Glad they didn't go over that again. Let's, like, some of the newer Batman stuff, you don't got to go over his origin story for the 18th time. We get it. We know we're going to the movies because we know who this character is already. Some of us might not. Fine. Look it up. But I'm glad they didn't go through that again.
No, I don't. I do not need to see Bruce Wayne's pearls falling again. Or not Bruce Wayne's, but Bruce Wayne's mother's pearls falling ever again in my life. I don't. And I'm the same way. I don't need to see the Turtles, except I'm going to go see that new Turtles movie at some point on Paramount. But yeah, I'm okay with that. There was no origin. But when I read what they were actually planning to do, that the next movie was going to be Shredder and the third movie is going to be Triceratops, I'm like, it made me sad that we didn't get a trilogy of these. Really made me sad.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be curious about, like, forever, like, how that could have panned out. I would have been excited to kind of see what they could have done. That's what it is.
I mean, because the next movie we get essentially after this is the one that we already covered, TMT Forever movie, which is a sequel to, it was Forever, right? The TV one?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I couldn't remember the hell. And then, but the only, like, the real next, Forever. Turtles Forever. The next real one is not till 2014. We get that live-action CGI bullshit. Michael Bay movies.
Yep.
But, I mean, it just makes me think, like, we could have had three of these. Like, it would have been awesome. Like, you have 2007, you probably have one in 2010, another one in 2013 or so. Like, it would have just been so cool to have those. But Astro Boy failed, and the company went out of business. And it isn't until the very end of this movie when you see Splinter has a trophy wall, and that's when you see Shredder's old mask. You see the TCRI can. You also have the scepter from the third movie. Like, you get, that's when you realize that these are, you know, connected in the same universe.
And the exact same mask from Shredder mask from the first movie, and the TCRI, and it says TCRI, not TGRI, like the comic. It actually says TCRI, or is it the opposite? No,
it's TCRI. It's CCRI in here.
Yeah, in the movie. In the second movie, Secret of the Woods, is TCRI. And they have it the exact same in this movie. And it's cracked in the middle, just like that movie was.
Yeah, because it's a sequel. Like, it's a weird way to do it, but I'm fine with it. It just makes me sad that we never got the others. You know, what could have been type of thing. Because I liked this film when I saw it, whenever I saw it around the time it came out. I watched it last week, and it's fine. Like, I would have liked more. I mean, I probably would have liked it more than the Michael Bay movies we get, which we have to talk about next now at some point.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a great time when we reach those.
We did, actually. Those are next now. It will be a while, but those are next. But hey, they end this movie. The last thing they say is, oh, I love being a turtle.
I'll take it. I think it was Raph saying it, too.
Yeah. It's the 2003 cartoon. That's the one that goes, I love being a turtle.
Oh, they've been saying that since at least the 90s movie. Like, Michelangelo says it when he's about to start fighting the foot in the middle of the street, I want to say. He screams it.
And hey, but no Vanilla Ice in this movie.
Oh, what a loss.
It's weird. It's almost as if he wasn't famous in 2007 or ever again in his life.
I mean, he did go on TV for some reality stuff after that, or some documentaries. I don't know, but that's
as far as I thought. He had a reality show.
Yeah.
Where he built houses or something. Because that's what you think about Vanilla Ice, right? Building houses?
Yeah, building houses, yeah. Hope he's better at that than his rap career.
That show didn't last very long, so I'm going to say no. And then one of the last things I want to talk about before we go on to Shelf, Stack, or Box is... So did you ever play any of the games for this movie?
I don't think I did. I'm trying to think about it. No, I don't think I did.
Because they had the TMNT game for 360, PS2, all that. Which I have played. It's actually pretty good. I played on 360 because it's an easy 1,000-point achievement game. Like, you literally just beat the game and get 1,000 points.
Great.
Well, it's early 360 game, so, you know, they didn't really care. They're like, okay, here you go. Well, but it's actually a good game.
A throwaway, like, possible licensed game. Like, they didn't really give a shit.
It plays kind of like a Prince of Persia game. Like, you have a lot of parkour stuff. I actually want to play it again. I want to play it too.
I'd be open to trying it. I didn't even really. I don't think I even knew that existed, to be honest.
Yeah, I picked it up probably at GameStop, pretty cheap. It was one of my early 360 games, but from what I remember, it was really good. You could play as the four turtles. You could switch up. It was a lot of parkour stuff, like Prince of Persia, running across walls and climbing on things, and which fit the turtles fine. You had boss fights, and I just remember it being an actually pretty good game, and I enjoyed it.
The main games I remember from around that era were just, like, based on the 03 Turtles.
Yeah, those are the PS2 games. This was, like, this was a multi-platform thing. They had one for Nintendo DS, PSP, Wii, Windows, which, hey, surprise, you can't buy it anymore on Steam, but you can find it on certain websites, I found out. So, I own a, I mean, there's also the PS2. That's how I eventually am going to replay this at some point for the show, because I don't care enough to want to pull out my 360 if I don't have to. Same game, just not as, no achievements. And there's also a Game Boy Advance game for this too. A different game.
Never touched that either. I don't think I played any games based on this movie.
The Game Boy Advance game is a beat 'em up, like a 2D beat 'em up arcade style looking game for Game Boy Advance. And I was looking it up, and I'm like, this is right up our alley.
Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting.
Never knew it existed. I knew about the 360 one. I never knew about the Game Boy Advance one. You know me, I like beat 'em ups too. But this is only one player, so. But hey, still cool. It's cool that it exists. And again, this is stuff that, like, there's a few Turtles games, and they all, like, they're, you know, they'll never be on anything again. And it sucks because, like, I can sometimes see the Turtles game on for TMNT on Steam, or I have seen it before. And of course, it just, you know, doesn't exist. You can't buy it ever. And it'll never come back. And it makes me sad. There's another Turtles game that I somehow was able to wish list, but doesn't exist anymore either, that I can never get. But hey, I can say that Injustice 2, I had the TMNT DLC, apparently, that I got somehow. It's on my...
I had that. When I had a PS4, I had Injustice 2 on there, and I solely bought, because I had Injustice 1. It was good. I actually played it through, read the comics that were attached to it. Injustice 2, I ended up getting. I was just gonna like watch it on YouTube or something, and then like do the comics. I was like, you know what? Damn, Turtles are in there. I need to buy it. But bought it. Got the Turtles DLC. Played it very rarely. Did the story mode and all that kind of stuff. Didn't even get enough play out of the Turtles, but, you know, was what it was. It was actually really fun and cool to see.
Yeah, I didn't even know I had it, but apparently at some point I got Injustice 2 in one of those, like, Humble Bundles or Fanatical Packs, and it came with a bunch of the DLC, and I have that, and I have the Turtles, which I didn't even know I had until just now.
Wow.
I don't care. I mean, I'll play Injustice 2 at some point, but because I want to. I like Injustice 1. I just want to play through the story mode. I don't, you know, it just came in a pack.
Oh, you don't want to do competitive online? No, it's not your thing?
No, can you believe that I don't like competitive online?
Oh, man, I had you pegged as a different person, man.
I haven't played online since the last group thing I did when we played Dead by Daylight together.
Holy hell, that was like your wedding.
It was after that.
Like, obviously after your wedding, but around that time.
Yeah, it's, and for those that don't know, which is, you know, everyone else listening, been about 6 years.
Yeah.
The time of this recording has been about five, 6 years. So,
well, I will tell you that, and I told you that back then too. Like, I don't do competitive online. Like, it's just not my thing. I do almost nothing but solo and then co-op. Like, I do a ton of co-op, actually. Like, even after this podcast, it's something I'm going to go do with some friends, just do some co-op stuff. But about it.
Yeah, I just don't play online in general much. I try. I do want, next time we hang out in person, there are some beat 'em up games I want to play with you that we'll then record about afterwards.
But I'm sure we could have a long list of some beat 'em ups we can actually do.
Yeah, the one that I want to play, we're gonna have to put cheats on, but it involves some Mighty Morphin Teenagers.
Oh yeah.
And a movie. Yeah,
I know exactly where you're getting at.
Two of them.
But, well, which one? Not the second one, right? Or are you not talking about
the Genesis game, right? And the SNES one.
Well, we did Genesis.
No, I know. I want to beat both and then record about it for this.
Oh, and record. Okay, yeah.
Future plans, yeah. That someday you might hear in this podcast, listeners might not know.
Yeah, and that's, so not only could we do that when we meet up, but we need to play the damn Power Ranger board game.
That too.
Which, you're going to love it, man. Like, that's pure co-op too, by the way. Like, it's amazing. I'm going to have, this weekend, this Sunday, I'm going to have, there's going to be six of us playing that game.
It looks cool. I need to get into more board games eventually anyway, so.
Oh yeah, like,
I don't play them, so I'm with you.
The gaming group got bigger, like, and we found this game, like, it's inspired us to, like, want to delve into, like, other board games on top of that. Like, I even got, for my birthday, I ended up getting a Doom board game based on the 2016 Doom. And how that plays is, one person plays as the demons, and up to four people play the Marines.
All right, that does sound cool.
Yeah, it's one versus all kind of game type, and the Marines will go around trying to, like, turn on the power. It's like almost like Dead Space in a way, too. Like, they turn on the power, do all these objectives, but they also got to survive through.
Or Dead by Daylight? You turn on the power?
Yeah, generator, yeah. You know, they have, I don't think it's fully out yet, but a Dead by Daylight board game also?
I'm not surprised.
They have a Jason board game just like that, too, that's already out, and we might end up, it's called, like, The Last Friday or something like that.
I am not surprised.
Yeah, anything you can think of, man, it's pretty much out there.
Any last things you want? And any last thing to say about the movie? Or go to Shelf Stacker Box?
No, not really, I guess.
Okay. All right, and so I'll go first. I'm going to put this in the stack. I enjoyed it. It was fine. It was still fun. I don't see myself ever watching it again, but I'm glad I did. It was fun. So I could maybe see myself, now that I own it, I could see myself going back and watching it again at some point. You know, just every so often. Like, okay, I'll put it on while I'm editing, just to have something to watch while I edit. So, but I'm glad that we did it. I'm glad we finally covered it, because I want to do all the movies. So it was nice to get this off my list. So, what about you?
For me, I'd probably have to agree with you and stack it. Not my favorite, but it's also not the worst. So it has that going for it. I'm also glad that I watched it. Anything Turtles, for that matter, unless it's like the 87 cartoon, I don't mind like revisiting much. So it was good to see it again and kind of refresh. Like, cause again, it's been over 10 years since I've seen it. Didn't hate it, didn't love it. It will stay in the stack for me.
Okay. All right. And if you want to hear us talk about more Turtles, we do a ton of Turtle stuff. You will see a link in the show notes to all our Turtle stuff, but we do a ton of Turtles content, comics, movies, mostly comics, but movies too, all the previous movies up to this point, and the one after it, just not the Michael Bay stuff yet. Thank God, unfortunately and fortunately. So you can find everything we do on Podbean. Go on our writer website, you just search TMNT or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and everything will pop up that we did. If you want to support the show, we do a Patreon, a little dog, and vote in our Patreon poll. You'll see a link in the show notes for that. We also have a Discord. Please join our Discord. We need more people. And while you're shouting my awesome intro, outro, courtesy of Elena at Hell Has Free, you can follow her on TikTok and Twitch and Instagram. And give a shout out to my buddy Bill Tucker, did the MC movies with me. He started his own podcast, Gamer Looks at 40. Definitely go support him. And also go support Nomads of Fantasy, another podcast I work with. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, and YouTube audio only. But we can be found on all those places. And I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.